Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is taken from our gospel reading from the 10th chapter of St. John, with an emphasis on these words. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." This is our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. The Good Shepherd discourse of Jesus is frequently referenced among the most comforting passages in all the Holy Scriptures. The language surrounding them is instantly recognizable, and it is eminently heartening. Many of you this morning could probably recite Jesus' words from the first half of this lesson from John 10 for today, despite it not even being printed for you in your bulletins. But still more of you could probably recall the 23rd Psalm, often cited along with this teaching. As our Good Shepherd, Jesus, we confess, distinguishes himself from thieves and robbers and strangers and even hired hands by laying down his life for the sheep, and then by taking it up again to stymie the wicked designs of the wolf seeking to devour his fold. As his sheep, who are rescued from death and from the power of the devil, we daily confess how our shepherd makes us to lie down in green pastures, how he leads us beside still waters and restores our soul, how he guides us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. All of the familiar conciliatory beats, right? But this is all to say, then, that when we open today's reading, the conclusion, the second half to Jesus' teaching about himself as our shepherd, well, it's here that we're met with a little bit of confounding language, which isn't often preached with the same emphasis as those words which immediately precede it. For to the Jews who came to Jesus in John 10, demanding some greater sign so that they may follow him, Jesus delivers to them a very stern rebuke. He says, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep." Friends, this is to say that Christ, the shepherd of the sheep, called out to the flock of Israel, to God's own chosen people of old, and in a sad and pathetic twist, they would not hear his voice. For here is yet another way that we see the good shepherd sets himself apart from all of those other shepherds who came before him. This shepherd has expectations of his sheep. Those who the good shepherd calls his own, he also expects to follow where he leads. Meaning first and foremost that we believe in him as our Lord and Savior, as those Jews in John chapter 10 failed to do. But even more than this, he also means for his sheep to proceed to follow him in paths of righteousness, as we confess in Psalm 23. That is, we are not to be scattered, or wandering, or listless, or, to borrow from St. Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. Do not be deceived, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, for these voices are none other than the voices of those thieves and robbers who Jesus warned about. These are the voices seeking to pull you from the shepherd's fold and back into condemnation and death. In contrast to this, Jesus says, "My sheep, those I have called my own, they hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand." Those who hear the voice of Christ, the Good Shepherd, will necessarily proceed to follow him, meaning they will look different than others. They will act differently. They will talk differently. They will prioritize those things of God, which, while held in little esteem to the world around us, are profitable unto everlasting life. For this is what we hear from the shepherd's voice. He says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Therefore, you, the Lord's flock, are urged. Hear only that voice, the voice of Christ, which works life in you, and pay heed to no other. For this is what comes from your shepherd's voice. None other than life, abundant life, fullness of life, eternal life, which death cannot take away. For the good shepherd lets no one snatch you from his hand. This morning, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as you walk through the narthex, you might have noticed that we're celebrating not only Good Shepherd Sunday today, but we're also kicking off the first Sunday of our emphasis on God's good work of life. This is one of the strengths of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, that we go to great lengths to underscore the sanctity of God's gift of life. And though we do this with great zeal, sometimes things still get lost in translation. Like the Good Shepherd passage itself, sometimes we foolish sheep only hear part of God's word of life and not the whole thing. What do I mean? Well, let's begin today with the elephant in the room, the obvious connotations that many of you are probably considering whenever we engage with the life emphasis in our church, or when someone describes themselves as pro-life. That is, the various issues surrounding the abortion debate, which have been taking place in the public square of our nation for the better part of the last century, and which, of course, the church has rightly had more than a little to say. This is frequently a topic so sensitive that it can shut down meaningful discourse at its mere mention. It can even end friendships with those closest to us, even those in the pew next to us. Because of the mess of our sin, the topic of life has become so politicized to such an excessive, destructive degree that we've let it become part and parcel not with our life in Christ, but rather with our political identities. That being the case, we in the church are behooven to be more deliberate when we speak to issues concerning the protection and the preservation of God's gift of life. Christians, in other words, need to be those voices which echo our shepherd's voice, voices calling for the care of all life and at all stages of life. Case in point, we often in our synod spend so much time doing the good work of advocating for the lives of the unborn that we can easily neglect or forget to advocate for the lives of those already born, specifically those of the mothers who are struggling with difficult or with unplanned pregnancies. In political fervor, our world invites us to see them less as human beings, bearing in their bodies the body of a fellow human being, and instead only as mere vessels, as instruments only to meet the end of delivering the child. And so what results is that we frequently do not care for them as our God has called us to do. We fail to acknowledge their concerns, their fears, their needs. And we do not meet them with actions of love and support, but instead simply urge them to support themselves. So also because of that aforementioned politicking, which we're so inundated with, we also forget to care and provide for the needs of the children once they pass through the womb and are born into the world. We falsely assume that once born, our obligation to them is over. And so we turn a blind eye from those matters crucial to their ongoing nurture and development in this body and life. Things like food security, public safety, education and social welfare. These things must be part of the conversation when we talk about life. And not just for the little children, but also for the disabled, the infirm, the ill, and the elderly. Too often we let the care in our society for the most vulnerable fall by the wayside as we preoccupy ourselves with matters of power, wealth, technology, and ideology. Consequential topics, to be sure, but none of them is where Christ's church is called to focus. Rather, the work our Lord calls his church to in his name is to seek the lost, to teach the children, to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, to care for the elderly and needy, and to visit those who are sick and imprisoned. In all these things, the church on earth acts in the name and for the sake of Christ himself. For it was Christ himself who said in Matthew chapter 25, "I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. For truly I say to you, as so you did it to one of these, the least of my brothers, so you did it to me." Notice, dear friends, does Christ, our shepherd, concern himself only with life at its inception and then again at its natural end? Of course not. The Christ came that we might have life and have it abundantly. The voice of the shepherd is the voice of life, eternal life, fullness of life. You know, friends, as you pass again through our narthex on your way out this morning, if you stop by that table prepared by our health and human care team, which is set up with resources for our life emphasis, you're going to see a poster. And on that poster, you'll see three words: created, loved, and saved by God. Created, loved, and saved. Why? Because there is no facet of life, either this life or the life of the world still to come, in which your God is not actively working for your good. Consequently, if you walk just a little further down the narthex, you're also going to see a wall filled with opportunities for service in this congregation and community where God is calling us to actively care for the life of those surrounding us. Our neighbors need us to be the voice of life for them. For it was the voice of Christ, the living Word of God, which first spoke life into the chaos of creation. It was the voice of Christ, by whom all things were made, who lovingly knit us together in our mother's wombs. It was the voice of Christ who so loved you that he spoke his absolution to you from Calvary's cross, giving his life in exchange for yours. It is the voice of Christ which ministers now to you in his church, calling you into his holy house to hear the good news of sins forgiven, calling you to his altar to eat and drink of his very body and blood. And it is that same voice of Christ, the Good Shepherd, which on the last day will call you out of your grave and into new and everlasting life in his kingdom. You see, wherever Christ is, there life follows. As his sheep, he desires that you follow him in all ways that lead to life in his name. And as we heard in John chapter 10, he expects you to follow in paths of righteousness, to take advantage of those opportunities to share his good news of life with your neighbor. As his church, that is his fold, let us not merely settle for life in part, but let us strive together for life in full. This means setting aside those false divisions among Christ's sheep in the name of things like wealth or race or political ideology. For St. Paul wrote to the church in Colossae, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to mere human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For you, who were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God has made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross, and he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them all in him. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, heed ever and only the voice of him who alone is your good shepherd. Let no other voice, no other tradition, no other philosophy, or anything else hold sway over you and so lure you away from the life you've been given in him. And when those voices entice you, and they will, return again. Return to receive forgiveness and to be renewed by him who loved you so that he laid down his life for you. For he alone is given by the Father to reconcile you back to himself. In him and in him alone are you created, loved, and saved. In his most loving name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in this same Christ Jesus, our good shepherd, unto life everlasting. Amen.